All right, so welcome everyone. Let's jump right in. Today we're diving deep into a pretty important case in securities law. It's Mine Workers Pension Scheme v. First Solar Inc.
Sounds complex.
It is, but you know, that's what we do here. We break down these intricate topics, and this one's particularly interesting, especially if you've ever thought about how, you know, investors actually prove they lost money because a company maybe didn't play by the rules.
Yeah, the whole, like, proving they were harmed thing, right?
Yeah.
That's always the tricky part.
Exactly. And this First Solar case, it really gives us a sort of roadmap for understanding that whole loss causation idea in securities fraud. We're going to get into the nitty-gritty of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals decision and see why it's relevant, not just for, you know, Wall Street types, but for anyone in law, really.
So we're talking about big money and legal precedents. Got it.
Right on. Our mission today is to basically understand this whole concept of loss causation through the lens of this First Solar case and see what lessons we can all take away from it. You know, what can investors learn? What can companies learn?
Okay, I'm intrigued. Let's talk First Solar. Big name, solar tech. What went wrong?
So picture this. It's roughly 2008 to 2012. First Solar is riding high. Everyone's, you know, excited about solar energy. But behind the scenes, investors later alleged that the company was, well, keeping some pretty big secrets, some pretty big problems, actually.
Problems like what? Bad solar panels?
Yeah, that's part of it. There were allegations of two main types of defects. The first one was a manufacturing defect that basically caused their panels to lose power faster than they should have.
So, like, the panels weren't as efficient as they claimed?
Exactly. And then the second defect was a design flaw, and this one got way worse in hot climates. So imagine you buy these solar panels thinking you're going to be generating all this clean energy, and then they, you know, start underperforming, especially if you're in a place where it gets hot.
Not good. And did they know about these problems?
Well, that's what the investors claimed. They said that First Solar knew about these issues, but they didn't come clean. They allegedly kept it all hush-hush. And not only that, but they allegedly misrepresented how much it would cost to fix or even just manage these problems.
As they were painting a rosy picture, even though they knew it was, well, a bit of a lemon situation.
Precisely. And as you can imagine, when the truth started to come out, things went south pretty quickly.
What happened? Did someone leak something?
It was more of a slow burn, really. There were earnings misses, which always make investors nervous. Then, boom, the CEO suddenly resigned.
Yeah, that usually sets off alarm bells.
Big time. And, you know, the details about these defects, they started to trickle out publicly. And the stock, oh boy, the stock took a nosedive. It went from like $300 a share to something like $50 a share.
Oof, that's a brutal drop. I bet the investors weren't happy.
You got that right. They were furious. And unsurprisingly, they decided to sue. And their main argument was that First Solar's alleged lies and this whole concealment of these major problems, it artificially pumped up the stock price.
So the investors are saying, hey, we bought these shares at an inflated price because you guys weren't honest with us.
Exactly. And that brings us to one of the most important concepts in this whole case, and really in a lot of securities fraud cases, loss causation.
Yeah, you mentioned that earlier. Can you break that down for us? It sounds kind of lawyery and complicated.
Well, it's basically the link that a plaintiff, in this case, the investors, has to prove between the company's bad behavior, like the fraud, and the money they lost.
So it's not just they lied and I lost money. You have to show the lie caused the loss.
That's the gist of it. You have to show that lie directly caused the stock to tank, and that's what caused the investor's financial harm. It's about connecting the dots and showing a direct cause and effect relationship.
Okay, so back to First Solar. How did they try to fight this?
Well, First Solar's legal team came up with a very specific idea about how loss causation should be proven. They said, look, investors can only prove their losses were caused by the fraud if they can show that the market specifically knew that the bad news was because of intentional fraud by the company. They called it a revelation of fraud test.
Hmm. So if First Solar just said, oh, we messed up, we've got some problems, but didn't come right out and say, and we totally lied about it, then the investors wouldn't be able to prove loss causation.
Yeah, that's how First Solar was trying to frame it.
Mm-hmm.
But the district court actually disagreed. They didn't buy this whole revelation of fraud test.
So what happened then? Did the case just go away?
Nope, not at all. The district court realized this was a really important legal question. So they decided to send it up the ladder to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. That's a higher court. And they get to weigh in on these big legal issues.
Makes sense. So, what did the Ninth Circuit decide? What was their big ruling?
Okay, so this is where things get really interesting. The Ninth Circuit, they sided with the investors. They said, look, you don't have to prove the market knew the bad news was because of fraud. You just have to show that your losses were caused by the facts that the company misrepresented or hid.
So the Ninth Circuit went with a more general standard, not this strict revelation of fraud thing.
Yep, they called it the proximate cause standard. And this was a big win for the plaintiffs, the investors in this case, because essentially they were saying, you don't need to get inside the minds of all these investors and prove they knew it was fraud. You just have to show the link between the hidden truth and the financial harm.
Can you give an example of how that played out in the first Solar case?
Yeah, sure. So remember how we talked about those defects and how First Solar allegedly downplayed the cost of dealing with them? Well, when the truth came out about how expensive those problems really were, the stock price tanked.
Right, because now investors were worried about the company's bottom line.
Exactly. So under this proximate cause standard, it didn't matter if the market thought, oh, First Solar's lying to us. What mattered was the market reacted to the disclosure of those real costs, those hidden facts, by selling off the stock.
I see. So the focus shifts from what the market believed about the company's intent to how the market behaved when the truth was revealed.
Exactly. The Ninth Circuit even put it really clearly in their ruling. They said, and I'm quoting here, disclosure of the fraud is not a sine qua non of loss causation.
Sine qua non. What's that Latin for fancy legal jargon?
Pretty much, but it basically means an essential condition. So what the court was saying is that investors don't absolutely need an admission of fraud to prove that the fraud caused their losses.
Got it. So how does that compare to the revelation of fraud test that First Solar wanted?
Well, the revelation of fraud test is much, much harder for investors to prove. It would require them to, like, prove the market knew it was being intentionally tricked, not just that it was reacting to bad news.
So the Ninth Circuit said, nope, proximate cause is enough. What did First Solar do then?
Well, they weren't too happy about that ruling, understandably, so they tried to appeal it all the way up to the Supreme Court.
Wow, going for the big guns. Did the Supreme Court take the case?
They actually didn't. They denied what's called certiorari, which basically means they chose not to hear the case. So the Ninth Circuit's ruling, that proximate cause standard, it remained the law of the land in that circuit.
Okay, so Ninth Circuit's ruling stands. What happened then? Did they go to trial?
Nope, they actually settled. And this is where it gets really interesting. The settlement was for a massive $350 million.
Whoa, that's a lot of money.
It is one of the largest securities class action settlements under the PSLRA, the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act, in the Ninth Circuit, ever.
So, what are the big takeaways here? Why should we care about this First Solar case?
There are a few key things to remember. First, in the Ninth Circuit at least, proximate cause is what matters for proving loss causation in securities fraud. It's a more investor-friendly standard. Second, this case is a big warning to companies. Don't hide problems. Don't mislead investors. The cost of secrecy can be enormous.
Yeah, $350 million is a pretty strong deterrent.
Absolutely. And the third takeaway is that, well, this whole idea of proximate cause, it can really give plaintiffs more leverage when they're negotiating settlements.
Interesting. So wrapping this all up, do you think we'll see more lawsuits like this, especially with, tech companies, green energy, where things are complex and there's potential for hidden problems?
That's a great question. And it really speaks to how the law has to adapt, right? It has to keep up with these new industries, these complex technologies. Like, a rigid rule might not work when you're dealing with something like, the long-term performance of a solar panel or the software in a self-driving car.
So maybe this case, this focus on proximate cause, it's a sign of things to come.
Maybe so. It's all about evolution, right? Law, finance, technology, it's all constantly changing.
To that.
Well, that's our deep dive into Mine Workers Pension Scheme v. First Solar Inc. Hopefully, you all have a better understanding of loss causation now and keep those brains buzzing. We'll be back with another fascinating case soon. Until then, keep exploring the intersection of law and finance. It's a wild ride.
It always is.